Yeah, all right. Well, I'm glad we serve a God that still answers prayer. Amen. I feel His presence in this place this morning. I appreciate that. I do appreciate everybody coming out this morning. I think I see everybody that was at the senior meeting yesterday, so that's good. But I was happy to get to attend my first senior meeting yesterday. Some of them got mad at me because I didn't eat as much as I should have. I told them I was watching my figure. And I forgot who it was. One of them looked at me and said, "Yeah, I'm watching it too. I'm watching it grow out this way and that way." So, but I'm thankful this morning for the opportunity to be here and to worship the Lord. I can't think of anywhere better than I'd rather be on a Sunday. We could be a lot more places, but I'm thankful that the Lord gave us the ability to come to His house. You think about those people that are in the hospital this morning, that could be us. We ought to just go ahead and just thank the Lord for just allowing us to be in here this morning. And I do thank the Lord for this opportunity. And I do thank some of y'all. I don't know if y'all, did y'all vote on Wednesday night to bring me in? Some of y'all might have voted no, and that's all right. I still love you. I'll be able to tell on your faces when you look at me. Most of you smile, so that's good. So, but I do thank you for allowing me to come and be as your interim pastor. Now, I want to warn you of one thing this morning. I'm not perfect. If some of you, I know, uh-oh. So, y'all might need to go vote again. But anyway, I will say a bunch of stuff that you might not like sometimes, but I just ask you to be patient with me. That's all I ask, and just keep on praying for me. That's it. Because I ain't perfect, I'm going to mess up a lot. And if I do say something up here that you don't agree with, come talk to me about it, and that's fine. We'll talk about it. But I do appreciate the love and hospitality that I always feel when I come in here, and especially at the senior meeting yesterday. I appreciated all of it. But, so we'll go ahead and we'll get into the message. Y'all ain't put a clock up for me, have you? Well, that's good. It means we can go as long as we want. All right, Daniel chapter 6 is where we'll be this morning. Daniel chapter 6 is where we'll start. Now, I was thinking yesterday at the meeting when all that food was coming in, I thought about, there was a teacher that told their students that the next day they were going to have a show-and-tell project about what their religion is. So, it kind of got rough in that classroom the next day. Well, a boy came in and he was Jewish. So, he walked up to the front of the class. He said, "Well, this is a Star of David. This represents my religion." Well, Mary got up next and she said, "Well, I'm a Catholic and this crucifix right here represents my religion." Well, old Tommy got up next and he said, "My name is Tommy and I'm a Baptist and this chicken casserole represents mine." We love to eat, amen? Amen. All right. I thought it was funny. That's all right. All right. Daniel chapter 6. If you're there this morning, say amen. Amen. All right. Daniel chapter 6 is where we'll be, and we'll just begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition or pray of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed. according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. And that's where we'll stop this morning. And may God add His blessing to His Word this morning. As I've read through the Old Testament, there were three men that made a huge impact on my life as I study about their lives. The first one was Moses, as I study about him. The second was David, and the third we just read about was Daniel. I admire Daniel because as I study him, all you read through the book of Daniel, you see his courage and his strength in standing up for the Lord his God when nobody else would. And I admire Daniel this morning for doing the things that he did, and studying his life has made a great impact on mine. And in Daniel chapter 6, we find that Medes and the Persians have taken over Babylon. We find in chapters 1 through 5 that King Nebuchadnezzar has came and taken over the Jewish people into captivity into Babylon. I believe it's in chapter number 4 when Nebuchadnezzar tries to uplift himself against the God of heaven, and the God of heaven brings him down just like that. And then in chapter 5 we see that Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar takes over, and we all know the story of chapter 5 where the writing gets written on the wall and the Medes and the Persians come and take over Babylon just like that, because they tried to exalt themselves against the God of heaven. And what we find in chapter number 6, we see that King Darius, who is of the Medes, takes over, and the Jewish people come and begin to serve them. And what we find in chapter number 6 is that somebody, King Nebuchadnezzar, has been taken over, and Darius has now come to serve. So what we find here in verses number 1 through 9 is a plot against God's people. We find a plot against God's people in verses 1 through verses 9. And the fact is, these people had tried to find something that they would put against Daniel this morning, but they couldn't find one thing. And wouldn't it be good if people started looking at us and they tried to look at our life and they would say, I can't find any error or any fault against them. And the people looked at Daniel and said, we're not going to be able to find any error. We're not going to be able to find any fault against him unless we open up the Word of God and find that Daniel prays too much and find that Daniel is too committed to his God. And wouldn't it be nice this morning if people could come and look at us and say, I can't find anything wrong with them except they pray too much. I can't find anything wrong with them except they read their Bible too much, except they obey God too much. Because in verse number 4, they said they couldn't find any error or fault against David, except we find it concerning the law of his God. Daniel had enemies against him that were plotting against him during that day. And the fact is, you as blood-bought children of God have one enemy that you need to look out for specifically, and that's the devil himself. And the fact is, Daniel did not do anything to make these men mad at him. The only reason they were mad at Daniel because he was highly favored by King Darius. And the fact is, this morning, you may not have done anything to make the devil mad at you, except you're highly favored by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you've been bought by His blood. And the reason he doesn't like you is because he used to be in a highly favored position in heaven. If you read in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter number 28, you'll find that the devil was highly exalted in heaven before he became the devil. And the reason he doesn't like me and you is because the Bible says that we're already seated in heavenly places with Christ. And that's where he used to be seated. The devil is our accuser this morning, the same way that these people were the accusers of Daniel. And the fact is, the devil will put anything in our way this morning to stop our devotion to God, just like he did with Daniel. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10, speaking of Satan, it says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. See who the devil's accusing? Not unbelievers, not the people of this world, but the brethren. And if you read in the book of Job, you'll find that very thing, that the devil gets to stand before God and accuse us to him all day and night. And Satan will put absolutely everything in the middle of your way to stop you from praying. He will do everything that he can to stop you from praying. And it was kind of good that we got to improvise this morning, because that song goes right along with this message this morning that we ought to pray now. Because the devil will do everything that he can to stop us from getting on our knees in prayer to God. And it may not be that he has to change the law in America that you can't pray on the public, but I think that that's coming, to be honest with you. Because it's already come in our schools, and nobody stood up and did anything for it. And you see what's happened to our schools. They've turned into hell on earth. Why? Because we allowed the devil to come in and take this Bible out of the schools and take prayer out of them. And we've taken God out of them. The song says, don't go blaming God for everything that's happening in the schools. You didn't invite him in. And you kicked him out. The devil may not change the law for us to be able to pray, but when you go home, he'll tell you to cut on the TV. He'll tell you to get on your computer and get on Facebook. And you won't even realize, but you'll be scrolling for 3 hours. It'll be 1 o'clock. You'll look up, oh, it's 4 o'clock. I've been scrolling on Facebook for 3 hours. Amen. The devil will put everything in your way to keep you off your knees. Whether it's being busy, whether it's going to work, whether it's watching TV, whether it's whatever. You say, well, why does he want to do this? Because Satan will do whatever he can to stop you from praying. Why? Because when one person gets on their knees and starts to pray, guess what? They begin to grow in their relationship with God. And they begin to get to know God better. And you know what happens when you begin to know God better? God starts a little fire in your heart. And you know what happens when a fire starts in your heart? What happens when you light a fire right here? What's it going to do? Is it going to stay right here? Is it going to start spreading? It's going to start spreading. So when God starts a fire in your heart, the person that's closest to you every day, guess what's going to happen? It's going to either spread to them or they don't get out of the way. And the reason that the devil does not want you to pray is because when you pray, a fire starts in your heart, and the person closest to you, then they start getting on fire for God. Then guess what? They don't go to work and somebody else don't get close to them and they don't get on fire for God. And all it takes is one person getting in their little prayer closet and praying to God and asking them to set them on fire for Jesus Christ. That's it. And that's why the devil will do everything that he can to keep you from praying. And if I were to ask you this morning, how's your prayer life? Every one of us would say, well, we ought to work on it a little bit. Prayer activates the movement of God to send a piece of heaven down to earth. I sure do love it when we get to come to church and it feels like we're already in heaven worshiping already. There's a plot this morning happening against God's people to stop praying. There's a plot this morning against us to stop praying. And there was a plot against Daniel to get him to stop praying. But you know what happened? Read in verse number 10. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. You found in the first 9 verses that there was a plot against God's people. In these verses, you'll find the unaltered devotion of Daniel towards his God. When Satan tried to get in the way of Daniel, look at what Daniel did. Daniel went home that night. He went into his house, and then he opened up the windows of his house, and he said, I'm going to pray anyway. Daniel went on the inside of his house, and he wasn't going to go and hide and pray. Daniel went in, he opened up the windows and said, whoever wants to hear can hear, but I'm going to pray no matter what anybody else tells me to do. As he did aforetime, you'll find in verse number 10. This means that Daniel made a habit of praying to God three times a day already. He was already praying to God three times a day before this happened. Daniel was nearly 80 years old already. Yet we find that Daniel went to his home and he got on his knees and he kept on praying. Daniel was nearly 80 and he still got on his knees and prayed to God three times a day. The Bible says Daniel knew that King Darius signed this writing. Daniel knew that if he went home and started praying and somebody caught him, within the next 30 days he was going to be lion's food. Yet he went home and he prayed anyway. And the fact is, Daniel was a man that was high up in this kingdom. So Daniel probably actually saw King Darius write out this law and said, you can't pray for 30 days. And I can see Daniel sitting there, and he probably even watched him sign the writing. And I can see him contemplating in his mind saying, well, I've been praying for three times a day for the last year. Am I going to go home and let this alter me from praying? And I can just see Daniel saying, I'm not going to let anything alter my devotion to God. And he goes home, and he doesn't get in a little prayer closet. He goes home, he opens up the windows, and he starts praying. And he says, whoever wants to hear, that's fine, and I'll take the consequences of being lion's food if I want to. Nothing is going to stop me from being devoted to my God. The underlying deception here was for Satan to get Daniel to be lukewarm in his devotion towards God. And the offer is still being offered to me and you today. Once you and I get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan does not want us to be on fire for God. Satan would rather let us be lukewarm. You say, well, how do I become lukewarm in my devotion to God? Stop praying. That's all it takes. Are you as close to God this morning as you once were? If the answer is no, then why not? One of the answers, I can guarantee it, will probably be we stopped praying. We stopped praying. Because this law was for 30 days that Daniel could not pray. If this law was signed on January the 1st, that meant that Daniel could not pray until January the 31st. Daniel could have easily went home and said, I'm fine, I don't have to pray for the next 30 days. I'll still be saved, I'll still go to heaven if I don't pray for 30 days. But Daniel said, no, nothing is going to alter my devotion to God. Because Daniel not only needed God in those 30 days, Daniel wanted God in those 30 days. Daniel desired God in those 30 days. We all know that we need God. If God took His hand of protection away from us, we'd be gone in a split second. We need God, but do we want Him? Let me tell you something. If I'm sitting on the couch at night and I get hungry for chicken nuggets, I'm going to do one or two things. I'm going to get up from the couch, I'm going to go to the freezer, I'm going to pull out the drawer and see if there's chicken nuggets, and if there is, I'm going to put them in the oven and bake them, and then I'm going to eat them. If I go to the fridge and they ain't in there, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my truck keys, I'm going to crank it up, I'm going to drive down to McDonald's, and I'm going to get me some chicken nuggets. Because you know that in the South, when we're hungry, nothing stops us from getting to the fridge. When I'm hungry, as soon as I get home, the first place that I'm going to go is to the refrigerator. Even if I'm not hungry, I still walk to the refrigerator just to see if anything's changed. Because when we're hungry, we don't stop until we get what we want. And the fact is, churches in America, the problems with most of them is we've lost our hunger for God. We've lost our hunger for God. And we no longer care if He comes and worships with us. We no longer want Him in our services with Him. We're satisfied with being lukewarm. Now just imagine with me. Verse number 16 says that Daniel was brought and cast into the lion's den. Now I'm from South Carolina. somebody would have got thrown into the lion's den. I can just imagine Daniel looking back at his friends as soon as he looks into that lion's den, looks into the eyes of them. He turns around and he says, "Well, boys, this is it for me." That's what I'd have done. I don't know what I've done. But I can just imagine Daniel looking into that lion's den, looking right into the eyes of the lions. And I can imagine Satan gets in that den with him and starts laughing at him. And says, "Daniel, you thought prayer was going to work? Look where prayer got you, Daniel. It's about to get you killed. Look where it got you. How's that for answered prayer?" You ever prayed and your situation gets worse? You ever prayed and your situation don't change at all? Daniel prayed and he got thrown into the lion's den. That was his answer to prayer. But when you pray and things get worse, you know what half the time is? That's a test. To see if you'll say, "Well, things got worse, I'm going to stop praying now." Nehemiah, his situation didn't change for 3 months, yet he kept on praying. Elijah prayed 7 times. The first 6 times, no rain came, yet he kept on praying. And God showed up. And I can imagine as Daniel walks into this lion's den, and he realizes, "I'm about to be lion's food." And then he looks into the eyes of those lions. And then he turns around and he takes his eyes off and he says, "Hold on. Prayer worked before. I might as well try it again." And I believe that whole night Daniel spent the night praying. Because prayer had worked for Daniel before. I believe it's in chapter 4, Daniel saw his 3 friends get thrown into a fiery furnace. And guess what happened? Because their 3 friends were unaltered in their devotion to God, they said, "We're not going to bow down to this image of King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't care if we get thrown into the fiery furnace. I'm not worshiping that thing. I worship God and God alone." And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Fine, heat up the furnace 10 times hotter and we'll throw you in then." And guess what happened? I could run a lap. The Bible says that his 3 men were in that fiery furnace. Hallelujah. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar looked on the inside of that fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar looked and he said, "I see a 4th man standing inside of that furnace. And one looks like the Son of God Himself." Daniel got to saw his friends be unaltered in their devotion to God. And God showed up. And now Daniel has been unaltered in his devotion to God. And he said, "God's going to show up again." Daniel didn't lose faith. Daniel just kept on praying. And look what happens in verse number 17. "And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, 'O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?' And I imagine a big silence over the place. And he said, 'I wonder if Daniel got to eat.'" And then verse 21, a voice comes out. "Then Daniel said unto the king, 'O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt.'" God showed up because Daniel had unaltered devotion to God. You say, "I've never seen God show up the way that He did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've never seen God show up the way that He did for Daniel. I've never seen God show up in my life the way that He did for Moses and split the Red Sea." God hadn't changed since Daniel's day. But what has? Us. Us. God moved for Daniel because Daniel moved for God. And we ought not complain that God hadn't moved for us the same way that He did for Moses, Daniel, and Elijah, when we don't move the way that Daniel, Moses, and Elijah moved. They all had unaltered devotion to God. And you could read throughout the whole Old Testament. when people persisted in their prayer life, it may have took a while, but God showed up and He did something that nobody could explain. If we'll keep our eyes on God and keep on praying even when we think we shouldn't, God will show up and do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Prayer activates the movement of God every single time. God showed up and He shut the mouths of those lions just like that. And that wasn't hard for God. God was the one that made them. Because Daniel had unaltered devotion to God, God took care of him. God shows up when we keep on praying. Now I want you to look at verse number 23. And I may run a lap on this one if I'm not careful. And I'm done after this. Verse 23, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces." The Bible says that Daniel was taken out of that lion's den, and you could look at Daniel and he didn't have not one single scratch on him. And the Bible says that the accusers of Daniel were brought in, and within the first two steps the lions devoured him in pieces. And you know, I got to reading that the other day, and I got to thinking about lions and our enemy, the devil. Peter wrote over there in his epistle, "Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil this morning is not looking to walk up to your family and just touch you and say, "Oh, didn't that hurt?" The devil is looking to walk up to your marriage and say, "Let's get rid of this thing. Let's devour it." The devil is looking to walk up to your family and say, "Let's devour this family and split it apart." And the devil's good at what he does, because we've seen families split apart before. We've seen marriages split apart before. The devil is looking to devour you and devour this church in 2 seconds if he wanted to. And that got me to thinking, if the devil is walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that kind of tells me that we're kind of in the lion's den a little bit too. Because as children of God, the devil is after us every single day that we have. But I read, "Then the king came very early in the morning." I just like that wording right there. The king showed up early in the morning. And the Bible says he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. The same way that we're in this lion's den down here, there's coming a glad morning where the King of Kings is going to step out on the cloud and he's going to say, "Come on up, children," and we're going to be taken out of this den. And the Bible says, hallelujah, in Revelation chapter 20, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone to be tormented forever and ever and ever and ever." And I just like saying that verse just to remind the devil about where he's going. And the people that accused Daniel, the first step they took into that lion's den, they were devoured just like that. The king's coming back one glad morning. And he's going to step out on this cloud. And guess what? We're going to go home and there won't be one manner of scratch found upon us, because we believed in Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God that although we might be in the lion's den this morning, the devil might be messing with your family this morning, the devil might be messing with yourself this morning, just keep on serving God. Keep on praying. And put your trust in Him. And when that glad morning comes, you won't have to stay down here any longer, because He's going to take us home. Well, there'll never be no sin, no devil, and no flesh anymore. I were to ask you this morning, how's your devotion to God? Is it as good as it used to be? Could it get better? How's your prayer life? Do we really want God to do something in our lives? Do you really want God to save your lost loved one? I pray that we wouldn't just say, God, we need you. But I pray that every day we'd wake up and say, God, I just don't need you today. I want you today. And I want to spend more time with you today. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He was 80 years old. Help us to never let the devil get in our way from making our prayers to our God and from being fully devoted to Him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Musicians, you can come forth. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just want to thank you for the Word of God and how we can just get strength from it and how we can get, Lord, everything that we need from your Word. And God, I'm thankful that you're a God that said that you would provide every need. And Lord, I'm thankful that you said that you would go with us even to the end of the world. And Lord, I just thank you for just all your many blessings on us today, God. We don't have anything to bring to you today, God, that we can complain about. But God, we've got so much to be thankful for, God. And I just pray that you'll make us into the servants that you want us to be. God, that we might have unaltered devotion to you, that when things come our way to try to get us away from you, we'll just keep on serving you and keep on praying. And God, we'll just give you the glory for whatever you do in our hearts this week. And Father, I pray for those that are sitting right now, Lord, if they've never trusted in you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll do it before it's eternally too late, before you come back for us. And Lord, we thank you and we give you the honor and glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone stand this morning.